Welcome to the broadcast of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. We're located at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, and we're glad you've tuned in. We pray that today's message is a blessing to you. If you desire prayer, our ministers are available to pray with you. Give us a call at 803-776-1238 or call us toll-free at 1-888-776-1238. Today, Pastor Daryl Jackson shares a message titled, The Power of Kindness and Goodness. Do something good for someone else.
There's a word from the Lord this morning. As we continue this series, this is the second message in this series entitled The Power of Kindness and Goodness. Beginning of this year, we declared it to be a year of spiritual empowerment. I said to you that throughout this year, we will be sharing the fruit of the Spirit that has been outlined in Galatians chapter 5. These two fruit are part of nine different fruit that Paul identified as the fruit of the Spirit, the power, the kindness, and goodness. Just look at somebody and say, be kind. Tell them, be good. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 30 to 37. And allow me this morning the privilege and the honor to read a little more of the text. I normally try not to go over two or three verses at the maximum, but I want to share seven verses in this incredible text so that you will understand the context in which this message has been derived from. Listen to Luke chapter 10, verse 30 to 37, New Living Translation. Jesus replied with a story or a parable. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho. He was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead. Somebody shout, half dead. Beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. But when the priest saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and pass him by. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. He then put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper two silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Now, which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied to Jesus, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, here's the subject. Then Jesus says, yes, and I need everybody to help me read this last phrase. Now go and do the same. Now go and do the same. We ask God's blessings on the reading and the hearing of his word. For the next few moments, I want to speak to you in this second message of this series, the series entitled The Power of Kindness and Goodness, I want to share with you from this subject: do something good for someone else. Look at someone before you sit down and let us challenge each other. Look at somebody and say, do something good for someone else. Now clap those hands as you take your seat. It has been said, it has been observed, it has been declared that we are perhaps living in a time in which fewer people seem to be interested in doing anything good for someone else. Somebody say, help us, Jesus. Perhaps we have become too busy. Perhaps we are too distracted. Perhaps we are too focused. Perhaps we are too selfish. Perhaps we are too into ourselves, self-focused, selfish, self-observed, to respond to the needs of anyone other than ourselves. Somebody say, help us, Jesus. We're living in challenging times. We're living in a time in which it seems as if we have lost the desire to be kind and to treat people right. We have leaders at the head of our government spew out division, vitriol, and hatred. We have people throughout the government, throughout the communities. It's all about revenge and all about getting back at somebody who got them. Somebody please help me say, help us, Jesus. These are trying times. Listen, I read an article that talked about the benefits of endorphins, the health benefits of endorphins, which are simply the hormones in our body that make us feel good when we are performing acts of kindness. It is the hormone in our body that when we exercise makes us feel good. They relax us. They give us a feeling of euphoria. In the recent article that I read, it stated that doing something good for someone else energizes the part of our brain that releases these endorphins and produce pleasurable emotions and feelings, as well as joyful moods in our lives. The article, which of course was a secular article published by a secular health institute, says it pays off to do something good for someone else because it makes you feel good. Read the article, agreed with the article. However, I did not need an article as a person of faith to tell me that there are some benefits in helping others. I realize that we do it not because an article has motivated us to do it, but we do it because God expects us to do it. Just look at somebody and say, that's who we are. You don't help others because it just makes you feel good. You help others because it helps the kingdom of God to grow. Goodness, like kindness that we talked about on last week, are both fruits of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, the author Paul indicates that the Holy Spirit resides in us. And one of the ways of knowing that the Holy Spirit resides in you is that you possess these kind of fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you want to know if somebody is saved or not, don't judge them by how they act in church. And I preach, I've been fooled by shouting, speaking in tongues, folk, before. I remember when I was young in my faith, I would see somebody who can proclaim the word and sing you happy and shout all over the church. I said, boy, they are saved until I watch how they act after church. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Part of being saved, I want to say this, take my time to preach this. I told the church this morning, Deacon Porterfield, I preached this morning at 8 and didn't bust a sweat. I just talked. And that's unusual for me. I sweat in December, okay? But I want you to get this, okay? Part of being saved is knowing how to treat people right. Part of being a child of God is knowing how to do good for someone who is in need. When we do something good for someone else, we are, as children of God, are displaying the heart of God to the world. Others will see our goodness and not praise us, but glorify our Heavenly Father. Here's how the Bible puts it. Let your light so shine on earth before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now we've got people who do good, but they can't wait to put it on social media. We've got people who do a little something. Somebody say a little something. To help people, but they can't wait to pat themselves on the back. One of the things that often burns me up, and I laugh about it all the time, is when somebody shoot me a text and let me know what good thing they just did that day. And I always sit them back and say, praise the Lord. Glad you let me know. But the good news is that God knows. Because the real goodness in what you do is when you do it and you don't care if no one recognizes it, or no one knows it, or no one is there to pat you on the back. When you just do it to be seen, can I preach? You are no different than anybody else. But when you do it when the lights are off, when you do it when nobody's there to call your name, when you go visit an elderly lady and just help her with her groceries or cut her grass and nobody calls your name, nobody knows you do that, it's the goodness of the Lord. Let me thank those of you who do that. Very special thank you to our deacons ministry and others, and our women's ministry and others who are out there helping people every day. And people say, well, nobody knows me. That's good. I like it when you do it and nobody knows. I tell you, two people know: God and the person you help, okay? And quite honestly, those are the only two that matters, right? And so when you do something not out of recognition, not out of seeking adulation or praise, but I just want to be a servant of the Lord. I just want to hear God say, well done, that good and faithful servant. The pastor is human, and we are frail. We may not remember to call your name, but God knows your name. The song that the elder TJ sang, that when he calls me, I will answer. How many of you are glad that God knows your down settings and your uprising? God knows every thought that enters your mind. And so it's important that we have a personal, genuine, authentic desire to help others. I know sometimes it gets discouraging because people say, I do all of that, and folk don't ever give me any credit, folk don't know what I'm doing. That God will reward you. Let me ask you a rhetorical question. Would you rather get your blessings here on earth, or would you rather God say when you get to heaven, well done, that good and faithful servant? And so it is important that we understand the benefit of doing something good for someone else, which takes us to our text. Do I have time to preach this? In this incredible text that's found in the gospel recorded by Luke chapter 10, Jesus responding to a critic or responding to the sarcasm of someone of the legal scholar. The Bible said he was an expert of the law. One translation said he was a lawyer. Somebody say he was a scholar. Goes to Jesus and wanted to know, what does it take to be saved? Jesus asked him, what does the Bible say? He says, love the Lord with all your heart and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And I would imagine that this wise person probably felt that I can entrap Jesus, because I'm going to ask him a question. Who is my neighbor? You say I should love my neighbor as myself? Who are you talking about? Jesus responded as he often did. He shares a story. He shares a parable, and he begins the parable with these words, and he does it for a reason. He tells a parable of a certain Jewish man who found himself in trouble. Now, I've often wondered, why would you make that distinction? Then I remember as being a student in at CIU in graduate school, and I had a professor who blessed us so much, and he says it was important because his audience were Jewish believers and Jewish skeptics. And he wanted them to know that this man who was in trouble was one of you. And if you and all of your holiness and you and all of your righteousness can't even help one of your own, what kind of person are you? So he tells this story. Do I have time to preach this? He tells this story of a certain Jewish man who found himself in trouble while traveling a very dangerous road. Somewhere, to those of you who've been here for a while, perhaps you've heard my series of messages that was entitled A Road Between Jerusalem and Jericho. So this man found himself in trouble in a unique place, on a road between Jerusalem and Jericho. Why was that important, Pastor Jackson? Because it was two opposite ends of the spectrum. Jerusalem was a holy city. Jerusalem was a place where the temple resided. Jerusalem was a place where all the holy folk went. Jerusalem was a place where all the spiritual big shots hung out. Jerusalem was a place where the spiritual bougie people went all the time. Jerusalem was a place where people called your name. Jerusalem was a place that people went to be pat on the back. Jerusalem was a place that you went to get all your recognition. But Jericho was on the other side of the track. It was the ghetto. It was ghetto, mean nobody go, but those who know, okay? That's where Jericho was. Jericho wasn't a place, it wasn't a pleasant place. It wasn't a place where a lot of people were. We've heard other references in the Bible. In fact, blind Bartimaeus sang his praise and cried out on the road to Jericho, Jesus, have mercy on me. But this wounded Jewish man found himself in trouble somewhere between the holy and the sacred and the not so sacred. Somewhere between the righteous place and the abominable place. Somewhere in the middle, he got in trouble. Preach, Pastor Jackson. Most people get in trouble somewhere in the middle. somewhere between where I used to be, where I need to be, and what I just came out of. Can I preach? Lord, y'all heard this expression. I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I ought to be. And I asked the question, then what are you? I'm trying to be something. So this man traveling on this dangerous road, attacked, robbed, wounded, and left on the side of the road half dead. Whew. This Jewish man left on the side of the road half dead. Jesus in this parable shares three different responses by three different individuals. Two of those individuals were Jewish. The third was a despised outcast. Look at the distinction. The first individual was a Jewish priest. He was the person in charge of the temple. He was the person who was in charge of the most important institution in first century Jewish culture. So he was the MVP of the greatest institution of that time. In other words, he was a big dog. Look at somebody, he was a big dog. He was VIP. They always saved him a seat. They always looked out for him. He always had a parking space. He always had somebody to look out for him. He was big cheese. He was the priest. He was in charge of the temple. Big shot. Look at Mr. Big Shot and how he responded to someone in need. According to the text and the parable, this VIP, this big cheese, this big dog, this big shot priest simply ignored the poor, wounded, helpless man lying on the side of the road. Now, this priest was so important, he didn't even have to fake it. He says, I don't even have to stop. He just kept going. He saw him, but he ignored him. Let me give you one notable distinction that you ought to remember about this parable. It is not about a problem you did not know about. Can I preach this out right now? Because a whole lot of folks say, I didn't know they were in bad cell. Shut up. Stop lying. You knew about it. This was a problem that stared you right in your face with your curly hair. Y'all know what I usually say, but my mama told me to stop saying that, okay? So you cannot use as an excuse you didn't know about it. It stared you in the face. It was right there as you took your journey. And undoubtedly, this priest was so busy because he had to go to Jerusalem in the temple to preach his word. He had to go share the word with a bunch of other folk who could care less about the man lying in the ditch on the side of the road. Oh, you better preach, Pastor Jackson. He didn't even slow down to look at the man. But the text says, here's the text. He crossed to the other side of the road. And here's what the text says, and pass him by. That's what big shots will do for you. He was so used to being served that he didn't know how to serve. He was so used to people doing stuff for him, he didn't know how to do something for anybody else. Well, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you rolled up your sleeve and did something for somebody in me? Too much is given, even more is required. Of you, he simply passed by on the other side. Second key individual Jesus outlined in this incredible, inspiring text was someone that's called a temple assistant. Perhaps one of the translations called him a Levite. Temple assistant or Levite was a person who worked in the temple, maybe possibly as a staffer, as an administrator, as somebody who worked in the temple, somebody who got a check for what they did. I don't know what side of the church to look at now. I just look up in the sky. Because a whole lot of you are good as long as your check is good. May I preach this? But this is somebody who got paid for what they did. Here's what the text says. This second individual, temple assistant, staffer, administrator. The text says the temple assistant, unlike the priest, he did walk over and looked at the man lying there. But also, just like the priest, he walked over on the other side without helping him. In other words, he stopped to evaluate the situation. I'm gonna look up to Jesus. Staffers love to evaluate stuff. And administrators, Deacon Carlos, love to evaluate and write up reports. They are really good at evaluating. But the question is, have you implemented what you evaluated? Can you roll up your sleeve and do what you have evaluated? The temple assistant evaluated the problem, but he did nothing about it. He too walked over to the other side. I'm sure when he got to his job, sit in his desk, after he drank his coffee, checked his emails, responded to all of his text messages, he wrote up a good report that perhaps went like this, Deacon Glover. We ought to do something about that dangerous road on the side of the road, because I just saw a man lying. That don't make no sense. Call somebody and tell them to get them people off that road. Y'all show them to have a church to come back to next week, okay? He evaluated, but he did. Whew. Somebody shout back at me, say nothing. He observed, but he did. He saw it, but he did. You see it every day. You observe it every day. You drive to work and pass by it. Help me, Holy Ghost. Every day. But the question is, are you going to do anything about it? I had to laugh after the 8 o'clock service. I talked to Deacon Chairman of Deacon Ministry. He made me laugh. He told us, don't get mad at me, James Young. They said, James, y'all know James Young. We love James. We call him the mayor of Bible Way. James said, tell Pastor that was a good sermon this morning, but these lazy people ain't going to do nothing. I said, at least James listened. James got more sense than a whole lot of folk. I said, James, the Holy Ghost told you that. Must be. He said, they ain't going to do nothing. The question is, after we have observed, after we have evaluated, after we've seen the problem, can we do something about it? And here's the third and the final individual. It was a man described in the text, quote, as a despised Samaritan. He was looked down upon by both the priest and the Levite. The Samaritans were half-breeds. They were somebody who were not even welcome in the temple to worship. The Samaritans could not even come to Jerusalem and worship with the bougie, spiritual bougies and the VIPs to worship. They didn't think, you know the story of Jesus meeting a woman, a Samaritan, and she says, we have to worship here, but you worship somewhere else. The Samaritan with no title. This Samaritan with no position. This Samaritan with no spiritual authority assigned to his name. He had something that the other two didn't have. He had a right relationship with God, and his Holy Ghost wouldn't allow him just to pass by somebody in need and evaluate and do nothing. The Bible says he got off his horse. He went to this man, this despised outcast. Note what it said. He did not do just the bare minimum, but he got off and he bandaged him and he used his oil and gave his wine and he put together his wounds and he put him on his donkey, took him to an inn, paid for his recovery, and said to the innkeeper, if that's not enough, then when I come back, I'll give you some more. And he never put it on social media. He did something for this man because it was the right thing to do. Now, at the end of the parable, Jesus asked this young legal scholar a question. Jesus said to him, now which of these three would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked? The young legal scholar said, the one that showed him mercy. And Jesus then responded with these words, go and do the same. God is speaking to us today, and he said, it's not just enough to come to church. It's not just enough to clap your hands. It's not just enough to lead worship and have praise. It's not just enough to walk around with titles. It's not just enough to say, I go to that big church. It's not just enough to say, see what our church is doing. But the question is, what have you done to help the least of these? The question is, can God count on you to stop what you're doing and to help somebody in need? We have an obligation to do it because the words Jesus gave were, go and do the same. He did not preference these words by saying, try to do your best. He says, go do something. Somebody help me preach and look at somebody, say, go do something. After church, go do something. This week, go do something. This month, go do something. Find somebody you can help and do something about it. Do something good for somebody else. And if nobody calls your name, then you rejoice in heaven with the angels of God and say, Lord, I've done what you've asked me to do. I've helped somebody in need. Lord, if I can just help somebody, then my living would not be in vain. I told you all this month, I want to challenge us to do better and to do more. I don't care how we compare with other ministries as it relates to size and magnitude and buildings. I don't get into that. In fact, I refuse to answer anybody's question that asks me the ridiculous question, how many members do you have? The answer is very simple, zero. We all belong to the kingdom of God. It is not about the footprint of this ministry. It is about what can you do to change somebody's life. And if one somebody's life has been made better because of what you have done, you've done what God has asked you to do. If somebody say, I know Jesus because I saw your good works, I've done what God is. You want to be important? Help somebody. You want a title? Help somebody. I've got a good title for you, faithful servant. You want one? Here is one. Faithful servant. This is what God has asked us to do. Let me share with you, if I can, as we prepare to conclude this message, three key takeaways that I want you to remember. And in fact, just stand to your feet all over this place. I want you to get your phones out. I want you to take these three key things with you as we prepare to leave. I told you, I don't want you to shout over this, and I want you to hear it, because sometimes we can lose the message in our praise. Be challenged from God. Here's the first key takeaway. Kindness and goodness are not just what we feel. It is not just what we talk about. Kindness and goodness, they are what we do. Please encourage somebody and say, we've got to do something. God wants to come back right now, and God wants to ask you, list me seven things you did in the last 7 weeks to make somebody else's life better. Would you struggle with your list? Not the last 7 days, but the last, if he said the last 7 months, would you struggle with your list? But Lord, I go to church. I pay my tithe and offerings. I shout, I clap my hands. What have you done to make somebody's life better? There's a widower lady who lost her husband, who can't cut her grass. She shouldn't have to struggle to do that. Those widow women, those single women who are trying to raise kids by themselves with a limited income, with all of the talent and the skills we have in ministry, they shouldn't have to struggle to do things. If they're going to say anything about this ministry, let them say, we're kind and we treat people good and they look out for the community. Then God will say, well done. Second key takeaway from this message, as we conclude this message, second message in this series, is this: generously help those that are in need. True kindness and goodness goes beyond just the minimum. Some of us just do enough to make ourselves feel good. Some of us just do enough so we can sleep at night. But true kindness, with all your skills and all your gifts and all your talent, but I don't know who needs, call us, we'll find somebody. Somebody needs their house paint, we'll find somebody. Somebody needs their car fixed, we can find somebody. Some of you have some incredible skills and talents, and you've worked your life, and many of you have retired. Do more than just sit home, go to church, go back, eat fried chicken, pound cake, and get fat. I told the church this morning, don't come back here being a fat, lazy believer. Lord, I've done something for somebody. And Pastor Jackson, I don't need you to call the name. I just want the Lord to know that I've accepted my spiritual mandate. Do more than just the bare minimum. Do more than just enough to make you feel good about the little you've done. Do something like this despised Samaritan, that history treated him better than the text, because the text called him despised Samaritan. But thank God for history that called him the good Samaritan. He gave him all he had, and even willing to give him more. And he left, and he says, if he needs anything else, put it on my tab. And here's the third and the final one. When we help someone in need, we are following the example of Christ. who came and rescued us when we were spiritually wounded, helpless, and in need of salvation. Is there anybody in here know that the Lord rescued you? Lift those hands. Anybody know that the Lord heard your cry, pitied every groan? Ooh, anyone know that when you did not know how you would make it, God came to your rescue? When we were wounded, laying on the side of the road, people gave us up. Thank you, Lord. You didn't give us up. Thank you, because when we were not worthy to be helped by others, you came down from glory, stepped through 42 generations, hung on the cross, could have come down from the cross, but you decided to die just to save us. And we say thank you. Somebody ought to say thank you. Clap those hands and tell the Lord thank you. I have to do it because he did it for me. The altar is now open, that we invite you to come right now. And if there's a prayer request, there's a need in your life, if you're praying for, if you ask God to give you strength, courage, give me boldness to do more. Lord, empower me to do more. Help me, Lord, to use the gifts and the talents that you've given me. Thank you for the volunteers, the ushers, the health professionals, parking lot attendants, deacons, and I. Thank you because you do more than just come to church to worship. Thank you for those who know that I've got to do more than just sit home. If you are a retired teacher, there are some kids that need to be tutored. Whew. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you a story as they prepare to sing. So my wife and I, many, many years ago, went to the home of a mother of this church who only had about a third or second grade education. Perhaps you heard me tell the story. She was raising her granddaughter, and the granddaughter was sitting at the table just scratching her head, looking over a book. I looked at the book, Regina, and it was a book with advanced math. And I asked the granddaughter, are you doing your homework? She said, the best I can. The grandmama looked at us, tears streaming down her face. She said, I only got a third grade education. I can't even read the books she's been given. Who's gonna help me save my granddaughter? I left there with tears in my eyes. I came back to Bible Way and I challenged every educator, every retired educator, get off the couch and come and help somebody in need. Everybody can't afford to send their kids to a paid tutoring program. Help somebody in need. If God has blessed you, then we have an obligation to help somebody else. I've asked Regina to sing this song that Mahalia Jackson sung for the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And after she sings this song, if I can help somebody, she's going to transition into a song that we all can sing together, reach out and touch somebody's hand. But if I can help somebody as I travel along the way, then my living shall not be in vain. Come on to this altar right now. God is challenging all of us, if you can.
If I can help.
Sing, Regina.
Somebody.
As
I travel.
Thank you,
Alone. If I can help.
Somebody. It's not just all about you. It's about
with
somebody
the word
else.
Or a song. If I can help somebody from doing wrong, then my living shall not be in vain. Then my living shall not be in vain.
Has your living been in vain? Then
shall not be in vain.
Thank you to all of our educators. Thank you to all of our community actors. Thank you for all that you do.
If I can help somebody as I'm singing this song, then my living shall not. Then my living shall not be in vain. So we'll reach out and touch
somebody's
hand.
Everybody, come on, join us.
Make this world a better place. Reach out, somebody. Make this, if you can, say, reach out and touch.
We have an obligation to come on, reach out
and touch somebody's hand. We can make this world a better place if you can. Oh, reach out and touch somebody's hand. You and me can make this world a better place, one life at a time, if you can. We can make this world a better place. If you can.
Listen, Clarence, my longtime friend, we've lost a lot of friends lately. I've gotten to the stage of my life where I'm burying friends now. I've been to funerals of friends that were very, very close to me. Just a couple weeks ago, I buried my childhood friend, Alfred Guest, that we grew up right down the street from eighth grade on, best friends. And the Lord challenged me. After that homegoing service, I went home, and the Lord says, what are you doing to make life better for somebody else? And don't tell me you preach, God says. Don't tell me you're a state senator. Those are titles in a position. What have you done that nobody knows about? What are you doing to help somebody that nobody knows? What are you doing that you don't even want anybody to know about? Because God gets the glory. Ooh. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, for the rest of my days, I'm going to do my best to make somebody else's life better. And God says, go do what I've asked you to do. Come on and tell them.
Reach out and touch somebody's hand.
The question is, what are you doing? Question is, what are you doing?
If you can, reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place. If you can.
Reach out.
Make this world a better place. If you can.
close those eyes. So I want to challenge you this week. I want to challenge everyone under the sound of my voice this week. Go do something good for someone else. Go find somebody whose life you can make better by the service you offer them. And watch God bless you. I'm convinced that when we bless others, God blesses us. In fact, we bless others because God has blessed us. And if God doesn't do anything else, he's already done enough. Amen. Somebody, come on.
Say, reach out and touch.
Reach out and touch.
Somebody's hand.
Somebody's hand.
We can make this world.
Lift those hands for the closing prayer, altar invitation. We've put the code on the screen. Where you can just go there if you want to commit to this ministry. If you would put that on the screen, that's right. Scan there. Next step. If you're in this worship center, then just if you want to dedicate your life to the Lord, you can remain at the altar. If you don't want to remain at the altar, just scan that, okay? Somebody will reach out to you this week, in fact. Somebody will reach out to you this week. And if they haven't, let us know, okay? Amen. Because we take serious our job to reach those that are in need, okay? To those of you that are joining us virtually, to those of you that are joining us by way of radio, we challenge you to find somebody to do something good for this week and watch God bless you. Eternal Father, we say thank you. God, we thank you for this service. I've done what you've asked me to do today. God, you gave me this assignment to share this word. You gave me this assignment as a pastor, not an evangelist, not as a traveling preacher, but as someone who cares about this congregation, cares about the souls of everyone under the sound of my voice, to challenge all of us, beginning with myself, to do more, to reach out and help those that are in need. Thank you, Lord, because when we do that, we show the heart of God to others. We say to others that there is hope beyond the White House, beyond the State House. There's hope beyond the chaos that we are experiencing in this world right now. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be the light that shineth among men. Thank you for those who've accepted this challenge. Thank you for those who accepted you as their Savior. Somebody who's not saved, someone who needs salvation, someone who needs the infilling of the Holy Spirit. You can't have this kind of goodness and kindness without the Holy Ghost in your life. You need it in your life right now. This is our challenge. In your name we pray and give thanks. And the church that loves the Lord said amen. 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 Come on, join in right now. Anyone here, if you're looking for a church home, if you want to join the church, if you want to commit your life to the Lord right now, if you want to make that commitment and you want to do it at the altar, come on right now. Thank you, young man. Look at God. Thank you, young man. So proud.
If you can,
look at God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. Make this world a better place.
Somebody ought to praise God for these. Anybody else? Come on, walk down the aisles if you want to right now.
Somebody's hand.
Anyone else? Amen. Anyone? Clap your hands for these that are here. Reach out.
touch somebody's hand.
Come on.
Make this world a better place.
Everybody. Come on, everybody. Look at God.
If you can, one more time.
Come on, everybody, praise the Lord.
Somebody,
it's not too late. Somebody, you want to be used by God. Amen.
If you can, reach out and touch somebody's hand. Make this world a better place.
We stand
if you can.
For the benediction. Give God a praise for the word of God.
You've been listening to the worship services of the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, where Daryl Jackson is our pastor. Our worship services are open to all at 2440 Atlas Road in Columbia, South Carolina, just off I-77 between Shop and Bluff Roads. We will continue to air our services here on the radio. We're also streaming live on our website, bwcar.org, or on Facebook at Bible Way Church of Atlas Road. And now on YouTube, our streaming services are available live on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m., and on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. If you've missed any of our services and would like to watch them again, you can get them on demand on any of our social media channels. We invite you to stay in spiritual fellowship with us. To place your order for CD or DVD of today's message entitled The Power of Kindness and Goodness, Do Something Good for Someone Else, please call us at 803-776-1238. Reference sermon number 091425. Again, the number is 803-776-1238. Sermon number 091425. September's Young Adult Month at Bible Way. Join us Sunday, September 28th at 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. for Young Adult Sunday as we celebrate the theme, Empowered to Stand Out. Pastor Daryl Jackson will share an empowering message of God's Word. Everyone's asked to wear their best 90s throwback attire. Young Adult Sunday, September 28th, here at Bible Way. We praise God for the testimonies of those who have received Christ and now have a deeper relationship with God as a result of this ministry. To sow a financial seed into this ministry, you can give online by checking the link on our website at bwcar.org. Or you can give right from your mobile phone by texting BWCAR and your giving amount to 73256. That's 73256. You can also mail your gift to Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, Post Office Box 90309, Columbia, South Carolina 29290. Please don't mail cash. Financial donations are being accepted at the church on Tuesdays from 12 noon until 6 p.m. Thank you for your continued support of this ministry. At Bible Way, our mission is to know God, to love, and to serve.